All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to compete at BKFC 32 in the headline attraction, which goes down on November the 5th. We've got Reggie Barnett Jr. and Gene Herrera getting out there and testing skills, and happy welcoming Mr. Herrera onto the show for the very first time. How's the day going so far, man?
What's going on, fellas? My day is going great, and I'm glad to be on with you.
And what was the, I guess, like, temperament when you got this bout offer here? Because, I mean, this guy's one of the more, like, highly ranked, tenured kind of guys in BKFC. I would think you would have been very excited when the bout offer initially came your way.
Absolutely, man. I know I'm basically fighting the champion. It's for a non-title fight. I typically fight at 125, but Reggie Barnett's just been one of those guys that I've wanted to fight for a while. So when the opportunity arose, man, I jumped on it as fast as I could.
Yeah, and this being the sophomore effort in BKFC and everything like that, and getting back to it after a little while, like, what was, I guess, the main reason for that hiatus? Was there a couple reasons for being a bit inactive? I would think you were still regularly training, but why was there that, I guess, gap from the last one?
Man, so I think it had to do a lot with contract reasons. For a while, we couldn't see eye to eye with BKFC as far as negotiations go. And then once David Fellman, which is a great guy, man, once he started getting more involved in the picture, we were able to make something happen. But unfortunately, I haven't really told anybody this, but I suffered a very, very serious dirt biking accident. You know, people didn't think I was ever going to walk again. And here I am, you know, walking, training, and getting ready for one of the biggest fights of my career.
Well, happy to hear you're doing better. I mean, obviously, it's great that you're competing, but in a broader sense, it's great that you have, like, the autonomy and the quality of life still. Was that, like, a wake-up call in a certain sense? Have you developed an even greater sense of gratitude coming out of that, I guess?
Yes, I have. I'm sorry. Are you having a hard time hearing me because of the dogs?
Oh, no, I can still hear. Yeah, I hear the dogs a little bit. They seem excited for the fight, too, which is fair.
Like I said, like you just stated, I'm just happy to be back up on my feet, and just to have this fight is just on top of that blessing, you know, and I can only thank God. I thank David Fellman. I also thank Reggie for offering me the fight. You know, I'm just very enthusiastic, just very excited to take this fight, man.
Yeah, and just briefly touching on that fight there, like, what did that whole moment mean for you? It seemed like you were really trying to use the platform to, you know, shine a light on worthwhile causes. Like, you were shouting out freedom for Cuba after the fight and stuff like that. Like, how important was it to use your platform to shine light on those kind of things and stuff like that?
I know that, you know, as athletes, we always get frowned upon whenever we do get political, but this is nothing about, you know, being political. This is more about the human suffering that's going on around the world. As you stated, you know, I spoke about the injustice in Cuba. I also wore a shirt that said, "Free the Uyghurs." Uyghurs, you know, they're an oppressed cultural group in the Xinjiang region in China, where there's an ongoing genocide. And nobody in the media talks about it, you know, and it's for a reason. It's not by mistake, it's all by design. But like I said, man, this isn't about politics. This isn't about anything. This is about that human, you know, that human cause, and everybody loves freedom. If you're a human being, you're born loving freedom. So when there's anybody that's being oppressed or freedom's being oppressed, I'm going to speak out against it, and I'm going to use my platform to let the world know.
Yeah, no, a great way to utilize the platform and stuff like that. And I mean, this fight is an interesting one, being that, I mean, obviously we talked about, like, you know, the resume both of you guys have and whatnot, but just this being at 135 pounds there and you being a ranked flyweight, like, was there almost a sense of, like, oh, it would have been good if this was at flyweight to kind of keep going in that division? Or are you almost trying to be, like, ranked in a couple divisions concurrently, sort of thing?
Well, you know what? I did want to stick with it with the flyweight because I'm on weight right now. I think I'm 135.2. I just weighed myself. So, my walk around weight is 135. But, like, I have big plans for the promotion, man. And in order to make that happen, sometimes you just gotta take the challenges when they arise. And you know, I'm not one to back down, and I'm always up for giving the people a good fight and a good show. And I think this fight is just, it's fireworks in the making.
Yeah, and what are your thoughts on what Reggie brings to the table overall? Obviously, like I said, from the top, one of the more experienced guys on the circuit. Seems like he's got that, like, you know, high fight IQ that underpins what he's doing as well. Like, what does he really, I guess, do well in your estimation, like, from what you've seen?
He has a lot of heart, man. He comes forward. He also has a lot of good movement, knows when to get out. The guy's just very experienced. You can tell he's been doing it for a while. You know, he seems to have a lot of speed on his side too, but he's never faced anybody like me, man. And the fact that he has such a strong heart and such a warrior spirit is what draws me the most into this fight, because I want to break him. I want to go in there and I want to make him quit.
Yeah, and that's interesting, because I feel like that's one of his more known characteristics, just the durability. Is that something you've also noticed, and you're like, I'd like to, you know, kind of break through that as like a statement kind of thing?
Absolutely. I feel like that's what draws me the most into this fight, is that he has that tenacity in him, you know. But man, he hasn't faced me, you know, and I expect a really good fight from his side, but you know, there's only so much that a human being can take.
And I mentioned your, you know, number two ranking in the flyweight division a bit earlier. It seems like they've been really, you know, fleshing out that weight category more and stuff like that in recent months, last year or two even. Have you noticed that as well in your position, even though not like consistently competing, but just like, oh yeah, they're giving a bit more shine and activity to the flyweights here?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, you know, BKFC is the greatest thing that's happened to us fighters that are coming towards the end of their career. And there's a lot of good flyweights around that have gotten to that point in their careers as well. And the BKFC's done a great job at scooping them up. So it's just, those are just big fights that keep lining up in my head. And as long as we're all able to come into some form of agreement, you know, I'm clearly doing my part, taking fights outside of my weight class. You know, accepting a fight with a champion for a non-title fight, you know, like, I'm willing to take the risk, you know, so hopefully they can see that and you know, compensate me when the time comes.
Yeah, and you speak of combat sports goals and stuff like that. I saw like a recent post you had there where you were talking about like having your pro Muay Thai debut against like a former champ, and how you checked off a lot of things like UFC, you know, BKFC, Muay Thai, and it seemed like boxing was something on your checklist there. Is that something you're really like intensely looking at, you know, getting under your belt down the line?
Absolutely. This is just part of the legacy that I'm building for myself, man. And that also has to do a lot why I jump into these fights, because, you know, man, we're only alive for what, you know, a good 80 years, you know, and then, you know, let's say 70, and then we spend the last 10 lying around. I want to spend those 10 years just looking back, smiling, and knowing that I did the best that I could and just gave the best of myself at all times.
Yeah, and something I thought that was kind of interesting in the context of gloved boxing, I saw you had a tweet a little bit ago where you were like, oh, it's funny how I'm offered a fight on the Jake Paul Anderson Silva undercard but a purse of $2,000. What was going on there? That seems very curious, to say the least. Definitely like not the most sizable sum of money, a little bit paltry perhaps. Like, can you give the backstory on what all happened with that?
Yeah, man, that's actually a really interesting story. So there's a Prodigy that they offered me, which would have been a great fight, you know, and I was willing to take it because it's part of the checklist that I'm going after, you know? And I was just surprised, man, the audacity that they had. You know, I mean, I get it. Like, if, you know, if it's a guy that's just stepping onto the scene, like, I completely get it. But I'm not just a guy that's stepping in the scene. I've put, you know, over 10 years of professional competition under my belt. You know, so for them to come at me with a $2,000 offer, it was just incredibly insulting. Not only that, but Jake Paul and his team, they go above and beyond to preach about how they're all for the fighters and all that, but that's exploitation at its finest, man. And I thought it was disrespectful in a way, but you know what, man, I just it's all fight politics. I've been dealing with it for years, and you know, all we can do is, you know, not take the fight and continue forward. And then, you know, all of a sudden this opportunity came up, so we jumped on it.
Yeah, and you seem very excited there, and you were talking about, like, looking back on certain things with a certain level of fondness. Like, it seemed like a few months back you were, like, reminiscing about the last MMA fight in Italy. Like, do you enjoy that kind of component of combat sports, just getting to travel to these, you know, different locations and perform for different audiences like that?
Absolutely, man. I mean, I was a kid that I was far from a privileged life, you know, so to be able to see these places and travel and be a prize fighter, because that's the point that I'm at now, it's just a dream come true, man, because I never expected it. So every time I get to be under those lights, it's a dream come true. Every fight's the biggest fight of my career, and I'm just very blessed and fortunate to have the opportunity to go in there and perform for you people.
Yeah, and it seems like the BKFC success, at least, has, you know, come from like a very grassroots kind of evolution, like just coming up from the BKFC tryouts and stuff like that. So it must be cool to kind of be in this position now, just like such a high profile fight and so many, you know, potential title implications, almost even across two weight categories, even though it's 135.
Yeah, man. I don't want to say too much, but that's my goal, man. I want to become champion, the first champion in BKFC in two weight classes. And, you know, just see where my career goes after that. You know, like you said, you know, I do miss MMA, very much so. There's a lot of attractive promotions out there, whether it's Bellator or PFL. You know, I think I'll make another run in MMA at one point. But for right now, my main focus is BKFC and maybe picking up a belt or two.
Yeah, I love the goals mapped out and everything like that. One thing though that I love to get some insights in when I'm talking to fighters is like the backstory on the nickname and everything like that. Like, what was the origin story of the Revolutionary? Like, what was the moment? Like, who gave it to you? Like, etc.
Okay, so the Revolutionary, that was part of my old PR team that I used to work with. We're just trying to figure out a name to really describe my approach towards the game, and I feel like I have a very unique style, and I really exploit things that can work in the sport. So that's why we chose to go with the Revolutionary, because I feel like I do have what it takes to change the sport for the better and to help other fighters develop certain skills that will apply for that art. And not just that, but like I told you, man, I'm all about humanity and you know, speaking out against injustice. So I feel like the name applied.
Yeah, makes sense. And yeah, I appreciate the insights there. And we've been talking a lot about fights for sure, which is always good, always up my alley. But it seems like outside of like the martial arts and whatnot, it seems like you really enjoy getting out there on the motorcycle and whatnot. Like, what are some outside like hobbies and passions you have outside of fighting?
Yeah, man. So I love motorcycles. That's part of the reason why I had to take, you know, that break, you know, because I was in a dirt biking accident. I had to do surgery. It was pretty bad, man. But the passion's still there. I still ride every once in a while. I also like to do a lot of spearfishing. I like to do hunting. And just spending time with family, you know, I like to go places, camping, sightseeing. That's kind of like the scene that I'm on right now. I'm not much of a club or bar guy. I'm not much of a drinker or a smoker. So I just like to do wholesome activities with the family.
Oh, those are the best kind of activities, man. I very much like to do those things myself. But you've been really great with your time, and I appreciate you coming on the show, man. But to that point, is there anything you might want to add as a parting thought as we're kind of wrapping up, man?
Yeah, man. If you're listening to this, please follow me on Instagram. You can follow me on Instagram at ChantJitsu. That's ChantJitsu. I would really appreciate it, because, as you know, that helps out with sponsors, et cetera, et cetera. And just tune in, man. Make sure you either buy your ticket or buy the subscription for BKFC so that you can watch the fights and you can watch me every time I fight for them.
Yeah, it's going to be a killer main event at BKFC 32 and very much excited for November 5th. And to reiterate, thanks so much for coming on the show and giving some great insights, man. Looking forward to checking out the fight, and just have a good rest of your day too, man.
Awesome, man. You do as well. Thank you for your time, brother.